So today's reading is from Psalm 8. And in the church Bible I have here, that's 546, if you have this church Bible. Okay, Psalm 8. For the director of music. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
To move this across.
Yes.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much. Lovely. I can see now. Wonderful. Okay, good morning. Thank you very, very much for having us here today. It is a real encouragement to see so many of you here. And we are so grateful for the partnership that we have with you in this work and be able to share with so many children. Susie and I were working out our figures this week, weren't we? How many did you get to? Wonderful stuff. So in the south, 30,000. In the north, it's a little lower. So I'm up to almost 18,000, but I've got a few more to count in. So about 48,000 interactions with kids. Yeah, it is a massive, massive work. And we are so grateful for all of your support, financial and prayer, for hosting us here as well. It is a real privilege to be able to partner with you in that. So thank you very much. And I hope, can I have a big nod if you're very encouraged by what we've heard this morning already? Good. This side are very encouraged. Can I get a thumbs up? Brilliant. Okay, that's encouraging. Thank you very much. We came to tell you about the work of Insight, but we also wanted to encourage you with the Word of God. And I believe that you've been working through Psalms over the summer. Is that correct? Good, because we're going to do that anyway today, whether you had or not. We're looking at Psalm 8. If we can keep the passage up, that would be really helpful. I love the book of Psalms. It is a wonderful, wonderful book. It's a book that doesn't hold back, does it? If anyone ever tells you that Christians think that life is easy, is plain sailing, you can point them to this book and very quickly they'll realise that that isn't true. One of my favourite authors is a guy called Nick Page, and in he's got this book called The Bible Book, which is like an overview of the whole Bible. In it, he says that the Psalms can be called the Book of Mood Swings. And it's true, isn't it? That's what we see in the Book of Psalms. We see deep cries of the heart, weighed down by sin and brokenness. Throughout the world, we see suffering experienced personally and collectively. We hear the cries of broken people as they ask God, why? Why does this keep on happening? Why do my enemies keep on prevailing? Why do I keep on struggling whilst everyone else seems to be doing so well? Do we ever feel like that, or is it just me? We do. Okay, I'm glad it's not just me. But we also see the deep faith that these people have. We see that amid the trials and the struggles that they remind themselves of the truth, that God hears and answers prayers. He responds to the brokenness in this world and he meets the needs of his people. I worded that carefully. He meets the needs, not the wants, but he meets the needs of his people. In Psalms, we see a God who cares greatly, who listens intimately, and who responds powerfully. We see the God of relationship. We see hope and we see rescue. And that leads us to psalms of great praise and joy. Songs that declare how great and powerful is our promise-keeping God. Songs like Psalm 23. Many of us will know Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters and he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. What a good God David talks about in this psalm. We see God is great in history and we're reminded of the future hope of the coming of God's promised rescuer. Psalms is an amazing book. Can I have a nod if you agree? Excellent stuff. We're still awake. This is good. Okay. In Psalm 8, which is our passage for today, we see some of this great praise. This psalm is about the promise-keeping God, demonstrating his rule over all the earth. If you've got your Bibles open, please have a little look at Psalm 8. If you've got your phone, open up your Bible app, and I believe it's up behind us as well. The Bible is everywhere, so look at it. It's wonderful. Now, in this psalm, it starts off by asking a wonderful question in verses 1 and in verse 9. How majestic is your name, God, in all the earth? The question is asking how great, how wonderful, how praiseworthy is God? That's the question that we're going to be looking at today. How praiseworthy is the God that we worship? And the answer, thankfully, is in verses 2 to 8. So look down with me. The first two verses tell us that God set his glory in the heavens, and yet he chooses to use the lips of children to tell how great he is, even silencing his enemies. These verses are telling us that God, who is massive in power, works through the weak and lowly things of this earth that, to be honest, most people wouldn't give a second glance to. And yet God uses them to bring him glory. This isn't written down, but last night, Joshua and I were reading through our little Bible that we have. Just before bedtime, we sit, we cuddle up with a blanket, and we read through the Jesus Gospel Bible Storybook of God. It's a very long title, yes. Thank you very much. And we were looking at the story of Joshua. So Joshua, my son, was very excited about that, and going around the walls of Jericho. And we read it, we made the noises and everything like that. And at the end, there were some questions for him to reflect on. Now, he's 3 and a half. He doesn't really do reflective questioning just yet. But we tried. And I asked him the question, said, Joshua, did the walls fall down because they made lots of noise? And he went, no, Daddy. I was like, brilliant, okay, good. Joshua, did the walls fall down because they marched around so many times and the walls were tired? No, Daddy. Okay, brilliant stuff. Okay, why? Why did the walls fall down? And he just looked at me, plainly, nothing. I said to him, Joshua, it's because God did it. It wasn't because of anything that Joshua and the other people did. It's because God did it. God was with them. They listened to God, and God fulfilled his plan. Now, I'm not sure what he got from that. And often, when we do these Bible stories, at his tender age of 3 and a half and my tired state, I just think, oh, it's a good story. Okay, brilliant. We'll say our prayer. We'll go to bed. Hopefully, he'll sleep through the night. Fingers crossed, God willing. Yes, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. That's not what happened last night. When we pray, my wife gets this from her family, actually. We hold hands together and we pray together. And Joshua has got slightly cheeky recently and said, no, Daddy, you know pray, I pray. Which is lovely. So he'll hold our hands and we'll pray together. And last night he said, dear God, thank you for Jesus. Amen. And that's the first time he's prayed that prayer. And I just burst into tears. I was so excited. It was wonderful. He looked at me and was like, Daddy, what wrong? And I was like, no, 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 nothing, nothing. And Naomi had to send me out the room just so I didn't make him more upset. But from the lips of children, God will be praised. Now, I'm not sure whether Joshua completely gets that yet. I really hope that he does. And our prayer is that he will grow up to know and love God as his personal saviour. But from the lips of children, God will be praised. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. God doesn't need us at all to do that. He is the mighty, powerful creator, but he chooses to use us to point to him. So why is God to be praised? Well, because he gives worth and value to his creation, to you. He wants you to point to him. He works through us to bring him glory. He doesn't need to. He doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. We move to verse 3 and we begin a nighttime stroll with David, who wrote this psalm. Now, I'm not sure when the last time you took a stroll was. Do you remember those relaxing walks that you could go on forever because there was nothing else to do? No responsibility, no washing up, no hoovering, nothing like that. And you could just go on for ages and ages and just enjoy looking around. Most of the time, I don't know what it's like for you, but for Susie and I, definitely, we're running from one place to the next, avoiding the crowd, trying not to look people in the eye, just in case there's that awkward moment when you lock eyes and you have to do something like nod or say hello. But thankfully, that isn't what happens with David. He isn't in a hurry. It says that he even has time to look up. That's a really important thing because we need to remember that we were created to look up. It's hard, isn't it, to find the time to step back and to do that, or even when you have got the time to find the will. Sometimes just turning Netflix on is much easier. And yet, we're told by God, and in this psalm, that we need to look up to something bigger than ourselves. We need to look up to our Creator, to God. And David, thankfully, does this. He looks up to the night sky. He sees the moon and the stars, and he calls them the work of God's fingers. Now, my fingers are good for tapping on a keyboard and when no one's looking, picking my nose. And yet, God's fingers, they created the moon and the stars. Tim Keller has a wonderful little quote about this. He says that, where is it? Oh, yes, that we see that God is an artist and that great art shows you the inner being of an artist. So when we see the work of an artist, you see the heart of an artist, which means that everything about the world that God's created, everything reveals something about who he is. So why is God to be praised? Or because he reveals himself in creation. And he is good. Psalm 19 verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies above proclaim his handiwork." We take that for granted so often, don't we? Can you imagine walking out at night time and it just being complete and utter darkness? I know it's hard here with the street lights and things, but maybe go off to the countryside and it's just pitch black. Nothing. No moon, no stars, just nothing. Can you imagine that instead, maybe once a year or even once a century, there was a special event when God said that the moon and the stars were going to come out? What would you do? You'd grab a picnic blanket, you'd grab the family, you'd go and you'd sit on the hill and you'd wait for that amazing moment where you'd see these stunning lights in the sky, something that you'd never seen before. And yet God, in his greatness, has given us to see that every day. He's given us the moon and the stars. He's given us all of creation to admire every day, to point to him every single day. We so often forget to do what David did, to step back in awe and wonder, to breathe in and just go, wow, isn't God great? But thankfully, David does this. He steps back, he gains some perspective, he forgets about being a king for a little while, he forgets about the family and the bills, if he had bills in those days. And this sense of awe and wonder leads him to ask the question that we see in verse 4. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. He's feeling a sense of just how small he is. Have you ever felt weak or small before? There's a knowing nod. I think we all do, don't we? I feel it every day, just tired. My little boy Joshua, as I said, he is most of the time a lovely boy. And as long as you weren't here at 9:30 this morning when he had just about woken up, you will see that he is generally a lovely boy. But if I want him to listen to me, it takes a lot of effort. And it doesn't seem to be until I get to just about 3. Here we are. Joshua, you need to put your shoes on. Joshua, put your shoes on, please. And there he is playing with his car. Joshua, you need to put your shoes on now. We're going to be late. And he's just playing away. And you go, Joshua, don't make me count. And he'll look at you. And he'll play with the car. And you go, Joshua, 1. And he'll look at you again and go, no. Joshua, 2. And he went, oh, crumbs, he's got to 2. But Joshua, don't make me get to that third number, okay? Now, I'm not sure what happens when we get to 3. Thankfully, we've never had to get there. But he just won't listen. And I'm meant to be his dad. He's meant to listen to me, I think. He listens to Mum most of the time. But between us, we really struggle at times. Especially if Paw Patrol is on. Anyone seen Paw Patrol before? Yeah? Okay. Or Noddy. If the TV's on, but particularly Paw Patrol or Noddy, it's like we're talking to a brick wall. And this 3.5-year-old just won't listen. And yet God, the creator of everything, listens to us. He cares for us. And David is asking in this psalm, why? Why are you mindful of me, God? Why? David goes on to say in verse 5, not only is he mindful of the people that he created, not only is he mindful of us, but he says, you've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Do you see what's happened here? God's made us a little lower than him. We should think back to Genesis, which tells us that we're made in his image. We are his image bearers. Therefore, to God, we are infinitely precious, and he treats us with dignity. He listens to us. He loves his creation so much, in fact, that he gives us responsibility by making us rulers. He gives us authority. How should we respond to a God that treats his creation like that? We should cry out in praise, as David does in verse 1 and 9. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That's what we should do. But what do we do? So often we forget to look up. But thankfully, God didn't forget to look down. The author of the letter to the Hebrews tells us that this psalm is fulfilled in Jesus. Hebrews 2, 6 to 9 says, "But there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him." Pointing back to Psalm 8. "You've made them a little lower than the angels. You've crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them." Now, verse 8 there seems to throw a little bit of a spanner in the works, because we know that everything isn't subject to us, and it doesn't seem to be subject to Christ. We think of things like death, which still plague us. We know that Jesus, however, has the ultimate victory over that because of the cross. The verse continues in verse 9, "But we do see Jesus. Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. We think back to Christmas, that baby born of a virgin, born to be a servant king, born to bring us back to God. We do see Jesus. As humans, we know that we've failed to fulfill God's plan, to put everything under our feet, to be good rulers, to even have good relationship with one another and with him. We know that we failed in that. But there is one man who is able to fulfill that psalm, who is able to fulfill God's great plan for us, for you, for me, and that man we know is Jesus, the praiseworthy king in all of the psalms. He fulfills what we couldn't. He came down to be our rescuer, to bring us back to him. That is how much we fill the mind of God, that he sent a rescuer despite our failings so that we could be with him in relationship for eternity. Why does Psalm 8 matter for us today? I've got four quick things. It matters because we know that we fail to represent God well, and yet God's glory shines through despite our weakness. He chooses to work through his creation. Psalm 8 matters because it reminds us to look up and enjoy the fact that God reveals himself in so many wonderful ways in creation. And we need to take time to be thankful for that. It matters because it shows us that God loves us and gives us his creation, dignity, value, worth. And it matters because it reminds us that through Jesus, the plan set out in Psalm 8 is fulfilled. The whole point of this psalm is to leave us speechless, standing in awe of God, thinking, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I'm just going to pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are majestic in all the earth, that your name is worthy to be praised. Forgive us, Father, for the times when we forget to look up, or even the times when we choose not to look up. Help our hearts to long for you, to see you glorified in all that we do. Help us to share you well with others. Let us be so thankful to our praiseworthy King that the joy of being yours overflows in our lives to those around us as well. Help us to bless others as you have blessed us. Amen. Now, one of the things that often happens in sermons is that you hear a sermon, and hopefully you've been challenged in it as well, and then you go and have a cup of coffee, and then you go and realise that the Sunday lunch is about to burn, and you rush off. So we wanted to give you a couple of minutes, actually, I think it's 4 minutes, 49 seconds, in fact, to think through what you've heard, and to reflect on how great God is before we go off into the busyness of the rest of the week. And so we've got a little video of a song, just so there isn't 4 minutes and 49 seconds of awkward silence. So we're going to play that song, and in that time, please pray. Take some time to gather your thoughts and to be thankful for the great God that we have.
Let's just join together in our closing prayer. I invite you to stay and learn more about the work of Insight. I think you said you'd set up in the room there. Yeah, so do take your coffee through, and coffee served in here. I want to finish with some words from Paul to the Christians in Philippi that are true for us today. Brothers and sisters, continue to think about what is good and worthy of praise. Think about what is true and honourable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. And do what you learned and received from me, what I told you and what you saw me do. And the God who gives peace will be with you. Amen.